Welcome to the VBAC Home Birth Stories podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Winning. I'm a home birth, free birth guide, fear and mindset coach, podcaster, speaker, women's rights activist, and highly sensitive person. I'm a mother of three girls, and I've had two unplanned and unneeded C-sections with a special scar. I birthed our third 4.5 kilo baby at home in a free birth after not being able to access a home birth midwife. My own journey has sparked a deep passion to support women to find their strength and courage to create the pregnancy, birth, and postpartum you desire and deserve. This podcast is for women wanting to learn more about VBACs, especially home births, and professionals who want to learn more about how to support VBAC women and families. I hope you enjoy this podcast.
I had asked James to check, and he was like, no, we're not going to do that. I don't want to give you depressing information if we can't feel his head. And I'm like, no, I've been pushing for like 10 hours. We need to know if his head is there. And so then when he checked and he's like, no, the head's like, it's still way up there. I'm like, what? Okay. So then my midwife friend, I told her, I was like, yeah, I want to know. Like, I'd like your opinion on like what you feel. Like, it's been 6 days. We need to
This is after a night of, you said, quite heavy, hard labor.
Oh yeah. And I would say this is like 100% active, intense labor. I feel like this is the labor that people describe right before their babies comes out. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I was going through that for like 30 hours.
Sure.
She felt him at one point and he was still up pretty high, but after 2 hours of walking around, moving my stomach around, lifting my stomach during contractions, after about 2 hours of doing that, I asked her to check me again, which I mean, I could have checked myself, I guess. I don't know. I wanted her, like, I'm like, go ahead, like, I want to know your opinion. I don't even hardly trust my, like, I'm just so tired, like, we're so exhausted, that I was just really wanted someone else's wisdom at this point. And so she felt and she's like, oh, his head is like right there, like he's about ready to come out. And at that point we're like, oh my gosh, okay, this is happening. And
did you feel baby come down or anything like that into the canal at this point?
Yeah, but I'd been feeling that for like since the day before when the pushing was happening. I could feel my pelvis opening, and like I thought for sure, like it felt like he was moving through and coming out at that point, but he wasn't. So I don't know. It didn't feel any different. Like I couldn't tell that, like, oh, all of a sudden his head is right there. Like, I, to me, it was all just kind of discomfort at this, you know, point in time. And you know, some people will say, like, you know, just embrace the contractions and ride the waves. And yeah, I did that.
Maybe not for, you know, 6 days though.
Right. At the beginning, I was like just really into that and just, oh, you know, feeling them. And then no. By day six, no. I'm like, this is pain. I'm like exhausted. This needs to end. And I will say, I was just going to say, for the whole 6 days, like my husband and I, like, we kept praying, like, okay, God, is this like what we're supposed to do? Are we supposed to continue on? And we just felt peace about like, keep going. We felt like this is what he was asking us to do because he wanted this to be a testimony that would glorify him and give him the honor. And so we just felt like, okay, yeah, we just have peace, like, to keep going. And at one point, I think it was like day four, I was like, I don't know, babe. I don't know. Like, how can we keep going on like this? Like, you know, and we were praying again, like, God, can you just give us a sign if we're supposed to like do something different? And are we supposed to go somewhere? Are we supposed to get help? And right then, that same day, there was a huge storm and flash flood and our whole road flooded and no one could leave. And so we're like, oh, okay, I guess we're not supposed to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then my friends were only able to come because they had a big truck and they were able to go over, get over the bridge. But anyways, yeah. So his head is was moving down and he was getting close to being born. And this is Sunday at about noon. And I just kept laboring and pushing and walking around because he wasn't born until after 2 o'clock. I can't remember the exact time, but yeah, so we still had 2 more hours. So it was just a very slow process. Even him coming out, like even once he was in the correct position, it was just like my body was just very just slow, and like I wasn't trying to force push or anything like that. I was like every contraction, I just let my body do what it needed to do.
How did you
And
feel
it
at
was a
that point when you had the confirmation that the head's right there? How did that feel for you?
oh my gosh, it was like, oh, James and I were both crying and just like so relieved because we're like, okay, this is actually happening. Like, thank you, God. Like, oh my goodness. And I could still feel him moving. So I still knew, like, baby's totally fine. We're going to meet him soon, and just complete relief. And like, this is okay. This is almost over. Like, I almost get to meet my baby. And so we were walking around outside, and it was a beautiful day. And my mom, like I said, she had the girls with her, and I'd asked her to pick us up some things from the store, and I asked her to get me a bottle of wine because I'm like, I need something. Like, I'm gonna drink some wine or something. Like, that was the only thing I could. I'm like, I'm gonna drink some wine or whatever. Anyway, so she shows up with some groceries and stuff, and we'd run out of Chuck's pads, and so she was bringing that and paper towels and stuff. And they ended up arriving at the perfect time as I'm outside walking around, and we just found out that his head is right there. And I'm like, you guys, he's gonna be here soon. Okay. And so my mom's like, oh my gosh, because she wasn't totally planning to like be at the birth. And I wasn't sure either because she was kind of a little traumatized from the last birth, seeing what happened and how it ended in a C-section and seeing me in pain. I think there's something, you know, that's really difficult about watching your own daughter, you know, go through that and being pain. And so I didn't want her to necessarily have to go through that again. And I didn't want to have to worry about her like while I was in labor. But as time had gone on, I actually kind of started to feel like I actually did want her there. Like the past like month or so of my pregnancy, I was like, it would actually be kind of cool and maybe like really healing if my mom actually was there. So I kind of had it in my mind like it'd be cool if it worked out. And it did work out because she got there with the girls like an hour before he was born. And so I was telling the girls to like, okay, go sit on the trampoline so you can watch. Like, I'm so glad you guys are here because I hadn't called them or told them to come. It was just like they just showed up. And so then I told that's when I decided that I wanted to give birth outside because we were out there. We had just had this flash flooding, and there was like a little creek that was going through our front yard area. And I had been walking in the creek because it was like freezing cold, but it felt so good to have that numbing sensation. Any other, you know, stimulating thing besides the pain was like amazing. And just it was just so beautiful. It was literally the perfect day. It was like 70 degrees. There was no wind. I'd been in the RV laboring for 6 days, and I was outside, and I looked around and I said to everyone, I'm going to give birth outside. And they were like, my friends were like, oh, okay. And so my one friend went and she grabbed a table and set up a table and started bringing out towels and different things. And it was just like they just right away responded to that. And then I was borrowing a birth stool. So they brought the birth stool out. I really had a love-hate relationship with the birth stool because when you sit on it, it like it does open things up a lot more, but it's also more painful, especially with back labor. And so I really didn't like that position just because it was so much more painful. But I ended up using it and like leaning my arms on it and then being on my knees. And James and I had kind of talked about like what position would be good, and he said, I would love to just have like full view of seeing the baby be born. And I was like, okay, well then I'll be on my knees because that'll probably be the best view for you. And like, that sounds really cool. And then you can like catch the baby. And so we were both like, yep, okay, so that's our plan. So Yeah, he starts crowning and it's going really slow. And like he would come out a little bit and then go back in. And, you know, it was just, I mean, this went on for like, yeah, another 45 minutes of just slow crowning. And I would get up and walk around, but I was mostly just like on my knees with my arms on the birth stool when it was really like his head was coming out more. And James was watching, and he had read or learned somewhere that if the skin turns white, then that is when you can tear because that means all the blood's gone out. So if the skin is white, like that's when you can tear. But as long as there's color, that means the blood flow has returned and you can't usually like tear during that time. So he was actually watching just to make sure that like everything looked good down there and that there was like the yeah, like the blood was flowing, my skin wasn't turning white when as his head was coming out. 'Cause I was like, tell me if I need to go slower, but it was honestly so slow. So and yeah, feeling the head come out was like, I mean, I kept saying, and you see this in the YouTube video, 'cause I keep asking him, like, okay, am I like at the widest point yet? 'Cause it feels like it's the widest point. And James would say, oh, just about, even though he was like, no, it was, you weren't close. He's like, but I couldn't tell you that, you know, oh, you're just about there, you know? So, and I'd be like, okay. And then I definitely knew when the head was coming out, but that, the, you know, that's more just like a kind of a quick, sharper pain. It didn't compare to labor at all. I mean, that was nothing.
A lot of
But
women are worried about that, and I always say it was quite painful, but it's the quickest part of the whole experience. So that's it, and then that's done and dusted.
yeah. Oh yeah, totally. And it's just like when it's your first time, like it's so startling, right? 'Cause you don't know what anything feels like, so it's all new, and it's all things you haven't felt before. So even though it's not necessarily pain, it's still like, you know, it's just like, huh, I've never felt this before. And it was so amazing because I was like moaning, and then like during the Ring of Fire, I let out a couple good screams, not because it was painful, but because it just felt so good to scream. And I was out in nature, and the birds were chirping, and the sun was shining, and I'm kneeling, and there's just a little bit of water that I'm kneeling in that's cooling, keeping me cool. And like it was just amazing. Like it was, the whole thing was like so amazing. And, then his whole head just boom, like just was out all of a sudden, just like, ah! It was just there. And so I reached down and I felt his head, and that's like so crazy, right? Like, oh my gosh, like it just feels like so weird. And that's when I called my girls over, and I was like, girls, come over. And then one of my daughters had been going to the bathroom inside, and so I was like, Wella, get out here, his head's out. And I'm yelling at her to like hurry up and get outside. And I'm like, mom. And my mom was, she asked, she's like, can I take pictures and video? And I was like, yeah, because we had our camera set up too. And so then she started recording also, which is awesome, because in our video we have like multiple camera angles from our camera and from her. And so and it's so funny because like my mom hasn't, like I sent her a couple like birth videos to watch, but she wasn't like, you know, immersed in it like we were. So she'd never seen a birth just like this. I mean, this is like shocking for somebody that hasn't seen this before. And she's just like, oh my goodness, what is that? Oh my goodness, oh my goodness, praise Jesus, and like just like her reaction is so funny, and you can hear her in the video too. It's like, it's, I just laugh every time like I hear like her in the background. And so like she's filming and she's getting like this up close video of his head like hanging out of me. And some people like, well, I feel like a lot of women will say that like they went into this place like labor land, and they kind of like, you know, went into this space. And I feel like I never really experienced that. I mean, I just felt like I was there. Like I didn't get to go inward at all. Like it felt like I was too much like just like, all right, this is normal. I was still like making jokes and different things, and like my midwife friend said that like it was kind of weird how like I was so coherent and like just aware and talking and, telling my daughter to come out of the bathroom and stuff like that. And so I don't know. I just think that I'd been going through the labor for so long that I had just kind of like adjusted to it. And so, yep,
That's interesting that you say that, because I was making jokes in my labor as well. Like,
Oh,
as I,
really?
yeah, like I want to chop my leg off, and people were laughing. Are you naturally, are you an extrovert or an introvert?
I in college and stuff, I was a very extroverted party type, fun person, and then I became more introverted as I got older. And yeah, so I can do both, but I think I'm more introverted now. Yeah.
Interesting. If you did a personality, maybe you're like extroverted, but like right in the middle or something.
That could be. I definitely feel like my personality has kind of changed a little bit. I think because I lived in Africa for 6 months by myself with our daughter, and I couldn't talk to anybody. There was no internet for a lot of that time and stuff, and my husband wasn't there and stuff. So I think that actually kind of shifted me. Like I actually had to learn how to like survive alone and like with just myself and my thoughts. And so that definitely
Is
changed me a bit.
introverted, yeah. So at this point, your baby's head's out.
Yes, and that was like kind of my favorite part of the birth right there. Like just it was 4 minutes that his head was just hanging out, and yeah, it was 4 minutes till the next contraction. And I know that because my friend started timing it, and I didn't know this, but my friend who was there, who's had 11 home birthed children, she had been to a similar birth that did not end well, and it was similar to mine. And so I didn't know that she was nervous for me the whole time, but there was a lot of things that made her really nervous, but she never put any of that onto me. But like as soon as his head was out, she like started timing to like, because she thought maybe there's like a 5 minute rule or something like that about the baby's head can't be, I don't know really any about that. But anyways, that's how I know it was 4 minutes, and his head was out and everyone was gathered around and I'm feeling him. And it was just this really special moment of each of the girls, you can see him in the YouTube video. They're squatting down, they're looking underneath, and they're like, wow. And they're just so amazed, and they're not shocked at all because they've watched so many birth videos that this is like completely normal to them. And yeah, and then I feel the next pushing contraction just come on, and I think I had two, and then his body just slipped right out into my husband's hands, and he caught him, and the cord was around his neck like 2.5 times, and so like I had to move my leg, and then he was like handing him like under my leg, and then the cord was kind of like tightening, so we had to like just move his body up and down. Like we just had to maneuver, and it was just like the most natural thing. And I just had a feeling that the cord was going to be around the neck because I'd seen so many videos where I just felt like it was such like a normal thing. And so we both like were not startled by it or anything. We're like, oh yep, cord around the neck. Like we both had already seen this so many times, it was like expected. So we just, did what we had to do. And then my husband just helped place him like on my chest, and I kind of just like sat down, and I was kind of sitting on this towel, and that's kind of where a lot of the YouTube comments get really mean, because people are like, you're sitting in gross mud and blood, and you're sitting in your own, it's just, and it's funny because it's like, oh, like I'm gonna get an infection from my own fluids and from being like outside, like infection is at the hospital. But anyways, I don't need to tell you
The same thing happens
that.
at the hospital as well. They just use a cloth to clean up any mess that's kind of happening at the time, but it's still on you. You're not having a bath
Oh
or a
yeah,
shower at that point, you know.
right
It
right
just it's just the fact that you're having a free birth or you're in nature that actually shocks people, because the same thing's
right
happening in hospital. And someone made a comment to me the other day about water birth, and ew, would you want to be in that? And I'm like, It's going to be on your leg anyways. You're going to have blood and poo and wee and everything on your leg anyways. Like, it's just a thought that you think that
Yeah.
this is worse than what's happening in hospital,
Yeah.
is
Oh, yeah.
my opinion on the whole
Yeah.
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, people are super like they just it's just the culture of like you should be in a sterilized environment, but it's like I'm
Yeah.
outside. Like there's nothing healthier than like
Yeah.
nature, like
And it's
being in
not
the
a sterilized
grass.
environment because most women get staph infections from, having surgery on top of their skin. It's a
Yep.
very normalized thing. It is sterile in there, but ultimately that's where people who have got viruses and bugs and germs are going, to
Exactly.
the hospital. So being outside in nature is like one of the, in my opinion, one of the most sterile,
Yeah.
amazing, great places. Not sterile because it's full of beautiful, organic, natural things that we need, actually. And we found
Yeah.
that when we started to use all those antibacterials, that it's not great for children because we have good bugs on us and things. We're
Right.
designed to thrive. That's a whole nother story, but yes. I love the fact that you
Yes.
birthed outside, and I love that you had a little bit of water trickling and the sun was
Yeah.
beating on your face. It sounds so beautiful.
It was so amazing. And just that moment of bringing him to my chest, even though I still thought he was a girl at that moment. It was so surreal. And I'm just like, and I'm like looking around. Like I looked at like each person, like
I remember
you
that in the video,
guys.
yeah.
Yeah, like how amazing this is. Like I just gave birth to a baby. Like oh my gosh. And like James, he was like laughing hysterically just because he didn't like he was also just so just amazed and in shock that I make fun of him because he just kept laughing. Like that was all he was doing was just like laughing the whole time. I'm holding the baby and he's just like, oh, he's just like right next to me, just like laughing. And yeah, and so the baby, he so one of my friends offered me a towel and I said no because I didn't want to like vigorously start wiping him or like startle him or try and wake him up. I could tell that he was so peaceful. He was just kind of like, sleepy. I mean, that's what it looked like. He was just totally relaxed. And so I didn't even want to be the one to initiate, startling him into his body. And so like my instincts were just like hold him and just like let him make the first move. And it was 28 seconds. We counted. It was 28 seconds, and that's when he let out his first little cry. And then that is when I started just like rubbing him, and I could tell, he was gurgling a little bit. So I just started sucking out fluid with my mouth, sucking it out, spitting. Yeah, the YouTube world does not like that either. They think that's super gross.
I know when I saw you
And
doing it, I knew exactly what you were doing, and I just love how intuitive you were, how you said no to the towel, in your authority and your power, knowing what was right for your baby. The suggestion was made, and a lot of us will say, okay, then, yeah, no, yeah, we'll do what you say, but you felt that you were in power. Yeah.
I and I just trusted I trusted my instincts at this point. Like
Yeah.
my body through God's strength has got me through 6 days. So I'm gonna trust now of whatever I feel like I need to do. Like that's
Yeah.
what I'm gonna do. And so yeah, he just yeah, he started crying. He his color was so good. And he was just yeah, strong cries. And after a few minutes of that, I said, okay, I'm ready for the towel now because I don't want him to get cold. And it was just oh man, yeah, it was so amazing. Like that and feeling that connection and that bond in those first moments of life that I missed out on my, with my first daughter. And like it just makes me sad that I missed out on that with her. But it also makes me appreciate even more that I, okay, wow, there was actually a difference here. That's kind of interesting. I mean, it makes sense, of just having him right there and being so aware, not being like drugged up, you know? Like I was so there, I was aware, and I'm holding him, and my placenta had already started to detach, because it just came out quick. It was out. It felt like it came out right away, but it was actually like 20 minutes. And it just slid right out. But that's why there's a lot of blood, and there's blood on him. And I think it was had to do with the placenta. And yeah, everyone was just rejoicing and just letting us have this moment. No one, you know, my friends, they were standing back and they were just observing. It was so beautiful. I think a neighbor drove by. A couple times a neighbor drove by while I was out there in the field, and we just kind of like waved them on by, like, oh, okay, nothing to see here, just keep going. But yeah, it was so incredible. And then I'm just trying to think here, like, so then my placenta, yeah, just like literally fell out of me. And then my friends were a little concerned because I wasn't contracting, like I wasn't having the normal, I only had a couple contractions. And they were kind of worried that maybe I was going to bl start bleeding a lot since I wasn't contracting. But it really turned out not to be a problem. They started bringing me different herbs and like orange juice and yogurt. And I don't want to sit on the ground anymore. I need to get up into a chair or something. Like I need to be in a different position. My legs are, I'm just, I gotta stop sitting like this or whatever. And so they helped lift me like into a like a camping chair, which wasn't very comfortable either. And then that's when they started bringing me all these different foods and blackstrap molasses and just like pumping me full of stuff. And that's amazing because that was exactly the support that James and I needed, you know, even though we were planning for an unassisted birth. It was so good to have that assistance, especially at the end when we were both so exhausted. And they were there to just start, you know, bringing me all the food and all kinds of everything good and, you know, just observing the situation. And him and I were able to just like enjoy the baby. And so I really like appreciated that. And I was so glad that my friends were there for that. And then they also were helping clean me up because since we're off grid, like we don't really have running water, so they were just bringing over buckets of water with a washcloth and wiping the blood off my legs and like getting me cleaned up in preparation to go inside, you know. And if I wouldn't have had them, then James would have had to be doing that. And it worked out like so amazingly perfect. And so while I was sitting out there in the field, so then we checked to see if it was a boy or a girl, and when we saw that it was a boy,
You
we were
hadn't
like,
checked this whole time.
right. Do you remember how long it was, babe, that we hadn't checked to see? I think it was like 30 minutes or something. Yeah, it was yeah, maybe 20, 30 minutes. I think it was maybe right before the placenta came out, so maybe like within 20 minutes. But yeah, and we were so surprised because I thought it was a girl. I don't know, because I only have girls, and I just like really thought that it was a girl. Like, nope, we can't have a boy. Like, no, we only have girls, like, you know. So we were just like shocked and laughing, and I had girl baby clothes. Like, I didn't have anything for a boy, and he, you know, so he was wrapped in pink blankets and stuff like that. That was amazing. And then, funny side note, there was a neighbor that lives across way pretty far, but he lives up on a hill and he can like hear everything apparently really good, like the way the sound travels. And during, he told us this later, that during the Ring of Fire, when I like let out a couple high-pitched screams, he was outside doing a bonfire. And he heard it so loudly. He said it sounded like I was standing right next to him, but he didn't know what it was. He just hears this woman scream like right next to him. And he said, oh my goodness, that was either the scream of life or death.
But
And then a little bit
you
later,
hear
he
it
heard,
traveled.
It seriously traveled. And then a little bit later, he heard my husband saying, "It's a boy. I have a son." And then we were blowing the shofar, which is like this ram's horn. And so then he knew that it was a birth. But I just thought that was so funny that it sounded like I was standing
That's
right next to
cool. That's cool. That's like, I'm just picturing like olden days that that would be happening, you know, and you don't see that anymore. So it's really cool.
So then we let my oldest daughter cut the cord. That was really special. Baby started like he was already trying to latch while I was still sitting out in the field. My friends are cleaning me up. I did get lightheaded and like when you kind of like lose your hearing a little bit and like I knew that I couldn't get up. I'm like, I just need to keep sitting here. But I knew that I was fine. And then probably after about like an hour of being outside, I said, okay, I'm ready to try and make it in the motor home. And so James was on one side of me, and then one of my friends was on the other side. And this again would have been very difficult if it would have been just us. Like James, he couldn't have just like carried me, inside and up the stairs. So it was just very, very helpful. And they'd prepared the bed, and like I could barely make it up the motor home steps. And like our bed, thankfully, we sleep on the pull-out couch, so it's like right inside the door. So they like got me up the steps, and I just kind of like collapsed on my just like on the end of the bed, like just like laid down right there, like, oh my goodness, I made it. And then while I was in that position, they were like wiping off my butt and everything, like cleaning off like that part of me that had been sitting down in the chair. It was like like, wow, these are
At the
some
end,
great, great
going on,
friends.
yeah. Experience wise women friends.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And so then I got into bed with my baby, and like just being able to lay there and rest, oh my goodness, was like, oh wow. It was, that moment of just being there
Really
with your baby.
exhausted. Yeah.
It was so incredible.
Did you have much bleeding after the baby was born and
No.
the center and
It didn't seem like any excessive amount,
that? No.
and I only really only bled for like it wasn't even like it was like the majority of it was in the first couple of days, and then it was just like a little bit for like not even 2 weeks, like 10 days.
Probably because of all the beautiful food and the nourishment you've been giving your body and.
And I was really sore. Like I was kind of surprised like how long it took my body to heal. Like even after 3 weeks, it still kind of hurt to walk around or stand for long periods of time. It felt like my pelvis had been like bruised, which makes sense because he was tilted, and he every time my body pushed, his head was getting kind of like, pushing in there. And so it makes sense. But yeah, I couldn't really get around too well. But that was totally fine because I was in bed, and my mom, she was help she kept the girls with her, and then my husband and I just got to have this really sweet bonding time with the baby, and then she would bring the girls over during the day, and then we had a meal train, which is when everyone signs up, and they bring you meals. And for 2 weeks, people brought us meals, and so we
Beautiful.
didn't have to do any cooking. Like it was super amazing, and it was a wonderful postpartum time. And just we just focused on skin to skin, and just I was like, I'm not gonna feel bad about laying in bed. Like I deserve this.
Yeah, you
And
did. I mean, all mums do. In that postpartum, it sounds like you had a beautifully supported postpartum to allow your body to heal. And, you're breastfeeding, it's taking a lot out of you when you're breastfeeding, let alone after a labor and a pregnancy.
And it actually took 5 days for my milk to come in, which kind of seemed like a long time. I know people have gone longer than that even, but I was starting to get like a little like, okay, like, is everything all right? And then I'd be like, nope, I just birthed a baby in a field. Like, my body knows exactly what it's doing. Like, my milk's gonna be here, And then eventually it did. It came in,
How long did
and
it take
everything.
with the other baby?
It was like immediate.
Oh, okay. So
And
you're turning really quickly.
yeah, which is interesting because it, you know, I think because it was a C-section, so it's kind of like weird that it would be so immediate, but maybe like the second day. I remember I got really engorged, you know, and that's like really can be really painful. But with him, I didn't get engorged at all. It was actually just a very smooth process, and my milk came in, and he was hungry. It just, I don't know, it was like really perfect.
A nice, slow, easy. I mean, obviously, the labor wasn't easy. Would you describe your birth as a difficult birth?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Compared to all the birth stories, the hundreds of podcasts that I've listened to, I'd say it's definitely like on the more difficult side.
Yeah. And I've got a couple of questions here that I wanted to ask you before you head off today, because I would love the listeners. One of the things is, it sounds like you were in, and I'm not an expert when it comes to it, but it sounds like you were in, what do we call it, prodromal labor for a few days. And I say that because you had labor at nighttime, but then in the day it fizzled off. And so we hear that a lot when it comes to prodromal labor. What would you say for women? Because there's a lot of women out there who have to go through this for weeks. What would you say to a woman that is, going to go through that? What helped you get through that? Because I've never had it myself, but it can be very tiring. It can be very a mindset challenge. Women don't know if they're in labor, if I mean, your body's working extremely hard regardless of the label that you want to give it. How do women get through that? How did you get through it?
So I had been having prodromal labor even before the 6 days had started. So even like a week before, you know, I thought that labor was starting and stuff. And you just you can't let yourself get defeated. You know, it's hard not to be disappointed because you think that it's, oh my goodness, it's happening, the baby's coming, and then, you know, it kind of stops. And you it's you know, birth is a lot in your mind of like the state of your mind. And if you let yourself just get disappointed or discouraged, you know, then that's gonna bring your attitude down, and that's gonna you just have to be like, okay, like for me, I just thought of it positively as like my body is practicing, my body is warming up. And like James kept telling me, he's like, everything is progress. Like every contraction is progress. Even if it doesn't feel like it's a super strong contraction, or if it, you know, like, or if they're more spread out or whatever, like it still is progress, and your body is doing exactly what it needs to do. So that's what I would say, is if you're feeling that and you're, you know, feeling discouraged because you, oh, you're disappointed, you know, like just know your body is doing exactly what it needs to do. Your body needs to warm up. And then, yeah, that's what I would say. And then, and just rest in that and have peace and just,
A very good answer. I think having the mindset is a huge piece, and having someone with you that can remind you that you're progressing, and everything has a part to play. Everything. I think it's so easy to maybe have expectations around our birth, or I'm going to have a baby. Someone said to me today, I want to have my baby in 6 hours. You're setting yourself up for expectations. And so if it doesn't go the way that you want it to go, and you are stuck for a week or two having to have this experience, that can be very difficult for your mindset to get over. And we all want to have like a shortish, pleasurable, easygoing birth, but we just can't dictate what's going to happen. We can only set ourselves up like you did by nourishing yourself, looking after your mindset, having the support. I mean, you set yourself up by the sounds of it in one of the best possible ways you possibly could. I just imagine if you hadn't been eating nourishing foods and you didn't have the mindset, you probably wouldn't have had the stamina, the energy, to continue going with that process. So really setting yourself up is so important. The next question I want to ask you, I think we just kind of touched base on some of it, but what prep did you do that you feel was most helpful in your pregnancy for your labor?
That's good. Just surrounding myself with positive birth stories, I think. And like, as we would listen to the bo birth po podcast, we would pause it and we'd ask each other, okay, what would we do in this situation? What choices would we make in this situation? And yeah, if I was around someone who was getting ready to tell me something negative about birth, I would just like stop them and be like, nope. Nope, I'm only taking positive birth stories right now. And I was fully, educated on, emergency situations, what's really an emergency, things that could go wrong, but I didn't need to hear that fear-mongering from other people. So I would not allow that to be talked about. It was like, even people who had multiple kids and they maybe had a couple difficult births and then a couple of good births, I'd say you can tell me about your good births because I'm getting ready to go, I'm want to keep like all like positive, joyful, while being prepared for if things don't go as planned. But that's I didn't need anyone else to tell me about that. So
That
yeah,
was some very good boundary setting on your behalf. Some people who are not great at boundary setting or maybe are more people pleasing, it's really important to get that boundary setting. And just the way that you've described it, that is setting a boundary. Happy to hear your positive stuff, but I don't want to hear your negative stuff. And that might take some people back if they're not used to that. But that's exactly what you need to do to protect your emotional, mindset while you're going through that. Yeah, it sounds like you had so much awareness, so much connection to your body and your intuition, but you also knew what you were willing to accept from other people. And I really love that about your journey.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and something else I'd also say is I didn't tell very many people that I was gonna free birth. I think that you have to be very protective of who you share that information with, because you tell the wrong person and they freak out. And I didn't want any of that. So I'm like, there was a few. Like I remember James's parents asked about the birth plan and they've always been very supportive of us. And so eventually we did tell them and they asked a few questions. The main question is, well, what are you gonna do if something goes wrong? But we were very protective of that. And I remember like I think I posted on social media like one time about that I was having a wild pregnancy and I had made like a wild pregnancy video. So people kind of were getting warmed up to like the idea a little bit of like, oh, this is weird, like a wild pregnancy, like, and so then when I came out later and said that I free birthed this baby in the field, people were kind of like, what? Like, but they were already like, okay, yeah, well, we already knew she was kind of weird. So,
Yeah, you already
but,
prepped them. Are they your friends, or do you have like a channel?
like, you mean like on YouTube or?
Yeah, like when you were sharing this information, was it with your friends, or do you have like a public?
Like Facebook, Instagram, yeah, public, yeah, it's yeah, pretty public. Yeah, and then there was only a couple friends that I told, and I was very particular. Like I'd be like, okay, this person is probably gonna be supportive, even if they're nervous, they're still gonna act like they're supportive, and I accept that. And so, and then it was interesting because my old midwife from California, I think we're Facebook friends. So she found out that I was pregnant. So she called me, and I was like, and she was asking me like point blank questions, like, so what's your birth plan, And I was like, oh my gosh, like I do not want to tell her that I'm gonna like free birth, but I'm like, well, I'm just gonna be honest. She's asking me, and like, this is my choice, So I'm, tell her. And I'm like, she said, so how did she word it? She was like, who's your birth, what's your birth team, or who's your midwife, or like whatever. And I was like, James is my midwife. And she's like, okay. She's like, All right. This sounds like a pretty good team. She's like, I am not surprised one bit. She said, you guys are gonna do great. She's like, I would not recommend free birth to a lot of people that I know, but I know you guys and I worked with you guys. And if anyone can free birth, like it's you guys. I have complete confidence in you guys, like you're a great team.
Wow.
And she was like super supportive. And she said, you know, text me if you have any questions or if you want my advice on anything or like whatever. So
Cool.
yeah, and then
Could
she
have gone
like
the opposite way.
Yeah. So that was really cool. And then like afterwards when I told her about the birth, she was just amazed that like I was in labor for 6 days because they would never, a midwife would never be allowed to, you know, let that happen. Like you would have to go to the hospital for sure. And so they just don't see that. And so,
Exactly,
and most people, yeah, most people wouldn't go that long. Most people would eventually go to the hospital. And so, but I think if more people you know didn't go to the hospital, we'd probably see that a lot more. Like people would probably just have longer labors, you know, maybe the baby's not in the perfect position. Like it might not be such a rare
of
thing.
course, yeah. It's like they talk about textbook birth, and we talk about women how long you're pushing for. And so we hear like anything over 2 hours is a super long time. And I can't believe they let you push for more than 2 hours. But we don't talk about posterior birth, where women, like for me, I was pushing for 10 hours, you're pushing for 30 hours. And that's not normalized, but it is normal for posterior birth. And we share this one-sided textbook birth, which is one style of birth, but there's so many different ways that women and that birth can unfold, but that's not normalized. And so if you don't go down that, way in hospital, and you don't, your cervix doesn't dilate to this certain time, or if you're a zero or a one, they've decided that this is what's going to happen, and then they put you into these cascade of interventions or straight to surgery. And so we don't get to see that. And that's one of the points, is that a lot of medical professionals don't get the chance to see physiological birth, and so they don't know what physiolog how can they even be in a space of really knowing what to do in that circumstance, because they've been trained that we use this drug, we use this drug, we use this intervention, and then we do surgery. And so yeah, it's cool that you're a midwife and that you've had this experience. And as you pointed out as well, it could have gone the opposite way, but you had your faith, you had your trust, you had your connection with your baby that was giving you signs that everything was okay, you felt okay. And I think that's one of the most important things, is that if you can connect with your baby, you can still feel your baby, you yourself feel okay and healthy, and intuitively you feel okay. I think that's one of the biggest signs. Just like we walk around as humans now, you're not going to go to the hospital and say, "Hey, can you check my blood pressure? Can you check my cholesterol? Can you tell me how I'm going today?" We might do it annually, but people are walking around like walking disasters right now, and probably feel pretty bad, and maybe not even going to check themselves because they don't want to know that information. I did have one. I had two more questions. So the next one I
Cool,
wanted to
cool.
know was, how did you prepare for off-grid birth? Because I've got a couple of ladies that I'm working with at the moment who are preparing for off-grid birth or rural birth. So someone who might be away from the hospital. How far away are you from the hospital? How did you wrap your mindset around what would happen if you were in an emergency situation? And yeah, what were your thoughts around that?
Yeah, so we are an hour and a half away from a hospital, and we don't have like an ambulance service in our town, really. Well, there is an ambulance, but we don't have like a like in America you call 911, and there's not like a 911 number like for this town where we live in. So you can't just yeah, so you can't just like call and have an ambulance sent like super quick. You'd have to like call the police station and then they'd have to like it'd be like this whole process. Anyway, so like we knew like it you wouldn't we wouldn't be going to the hospital like, you know, super fast. But there was such like a like small number of things that we would actually even go to the hospital for. Like we had discussed like there's two hospital options and we had discussed which one we would go to and we had discussed the actual emergencies, which I honestly don't even really remember Like it was just like I just felt like that it wasn't gonna happen, and I just felt, I mean, we both felt like we just had peace, everything was gonna be fine. But we did know where the hospitals were at and which hospital we were going to go to, but it wasn't something that was like at the forefront of my mind. So yeah, and then off grid, preparing for an off grid birth. I had really wanted a water birth, but I just kind of had to surrender that idea because of our water situation. And some people off grid, they might have a great water situation. They might have a well or something. We didn't. We collect rainwater and we'll go fill up water, a water tank from like a neighbor or whatever. So having a water birth, it was too complicated. Like I didn't want to have to deal with, do we have enough water? Getting the water heated up, like it was too much. So I was like, I don't want to, bring that in, bring in that extra stress. And so it was a lot of making sure that we had a lot of things that I didn't mind throwing away, because since we don't have like a washing machine and stuff like that, I wanted to be able to just throw things away. So like I'd recommend, like I went to thrift stores and just got like, $2 towels and stuff. So we had plenty of towels so that I wouldn't feel bad throwing things away. Yeah, and then a lot of like wet wipes, a lot of paper towels, yeah, things that you can like throw away that I didn't want to have to worry about washing. And then also with our sheets, we had done a couple different layers of, like we had like our nice linen sheets that we always sleep on, but then on top of that we'd put down plastic, and then we put another pair, another sheet on that we didn't care about, and that's what I labored on when I wanted to be on the bed, was like that sheet. So we didn't care, and our actual other sheet. So then when it was time to crawl into bed, all we had to do was peel off the dirty sheet with the plastic, and then our nice sheets were like all ready to go, and that was great. Like, okay, just throw all of that away. Yeah, I'm trying to think like what else. Yeah, it was, yeah, cleaning up afterwards was the most challenging part, but again, we just had buckets of water and yeah, and I didn't take a shower for like a week, which maybe, I mean, that is kind of maybe a little bit gross. but I didn't really care, and like I couldn't, like I said, I couldn't walk around very easily, and we had to go to a friend's house to do that, to use their bath and shower, and I wasn't ready to leave the house. I mean, I couldn't hardly get into the car. Even at a week, it was very difficult. But I'm like, I really want to shower, so we should probably just do this. And so it was just like a very calm, peaceful time. We went over to this friend's house. They had a beautiful that yeah, just go to someone that has a beautiful bathroom and just like spend all day in their bathroom.
Yeah, and I suppose it depends on how off-grid you are, because I'm thinking about one client, she's off-grid, but she's like in an eco resort. So it's off-grid, but it's like they've got facilities, whereas you don't have any facilities. So it's good to hear that. I wouldn't have even thought about the process of you don't have a washing machine, you don't have a hose that you can just get under. And unfortunately, you didn't have like a creek except for from the floods, which you didn't have a running creek near you where you could just, and if you're not feeling well, mobility, you don't want to be putting yourself out like that. So that's understandable. What I've got one more question, and I usually end with this question. What is some of your final words that you would like to share with anyone planning a VBAC home birth or free birth?
Yeah, I would just say don't let fear hold you back. Just, have faith, trust the process of birth. Even the Bible says that God doesn't speak with a voice of fear. He's not given us a spirit of fear. And so to me, that's like if I hear a voice, that is speaking fearful thoughts, like I know that that's not like from God, or you can just know that that's not a positive thought, right? You know, and we shouldn't be basing any of our decisions, you know, on fear. And so if fear is what is holding you back, then do whatever you need to do to like work through, like, okay, well, what is the root of my fear? Is it a legitimate fear? Is it a past trauma that I need to work through? Is it birth trauma? Is it like, you know, what do I need to do to get past the fear? Because we don't want fear to hold us back from doing anything in life, right? Because we would miss out on so much. And like in our culture, there's so much fear. There's fear about everything.
Turn
There's
on
fear
the
about,
news.
oh
What's the news? It should be called Fear Watch. Like, it's just like doom and gloom, and you're just primed for the world to like implode or something. And you know, we are kind of, it's our mind trying to keep us safe. We're trying to keep ourselves safe from things we understand. We know we've had a C-section, that was okay. It might have been traumatic, but we've done it. We know what it's like. This is something really scary because we've never had a vaginal birth. What happens if I tear? What's the pain? Am I going to be able to handle the pain? Like, it's so many unknowns, and it's just our mind trying to keep us safe and small, but we don't have to be. And I think definitely turning off the news is one helpful part as well, because that's anxiety inducing in itself. Well, thank you so much for, we had a bit of a, just for anyone listening, my internet dropped out and we literally dropped off for about an hour. And I had this intuitive, it was like, I was like, okay, what would I normally do? I would normally stress out so much and freak out and start sweating from the stress of like letting someone down. And I was like, okay, Ashley, this is out of your control, the stupid internet. And my internet's been dropping in and out. I had some lunch. I pulled everything out and I just thought, this would be super crazy, but like, have this intuitive feeling she might still be there, like she might be. And then when I went on, the internet worked, and then she popped up, and you were waiting for me, and I was just like, wow, that is so cool. So thank you so much for your patience and for waiting for me. I really appreciate you, and I'm so grateful and happy that I've been able to listen to your story, and that you have been able to have this story as well on this journey with your son. So thank you so much for taking the time 3 months postpartum and sharing your knowledge, wisdom, and experience with other women, because I know it's going to be very helpful and game changing for other women who are about to walk the same fire as you have.
Yes, that's amazing. I'm so honored to be able to share this. Thank you for giving me a platform to share, you know, the story. And again, I couldn't have done it without God's strength. So all glory to him. And of course, my amazing husband. You have to have someone. Well, you don't. You well, I know women have who have given birth alone, but it's so wonderful when you have that support. You know, whether it's your husband or a friend or, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, physiological birth, it's miraculous. It's beautiful. And, you know, I've already been thinking about how I can do it better the next time so that it's not 6 days. And, you know, ooh, where do I want to give birth the next time? Like maybe like I want to like, you know, outdo it. Like I want to do it even better. Like And I'm excited. So even though it was all of that pain, when the actual birth happens and the baby is born, it is so amazing that like you want to do it again. I mean, at least for me and a lot of women, they're like, I have to experience that again. Like it was so amazing. And so yeah, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the pain. You can do it. You can get through it. I'm glad that I know now what it feels like and what my body, you know, how my body responds. And I feel like I'm really like even more prepared for next time. And I'm like super excited to do it again.
And will you be doing it again sometime soon based on your past experiences, or are you going to have a longer gap this one, if you don't mind sharing with everyone?
My husband and I just decided that we're like not really gonna worry about it or think about it. We're just gonna be like, all right, whenever we get pregnant, like however many babies like God wants to give us, like that's a more recent like mindset just of the past like couple years of just like, you know what, I do want more babies, and I think it's wonderful to you know, just like have babies. Like it's beautiful, and a lot of people aren't having babies, and I don't think that big families should be shamed. I think it's like a beautiful thing. And so Yeah, I'm just excited to see. I could be pregnant right now for all I know.
How do you set yourself up for that? Like, so for me, an example, I have had three children. I've got three girls, and everyone always asks, are you going to have another baby? And we always said we'd have about four. So I've left the door open. I do want to lose some more weight before I actually conceive another baby, just for practicality reasons. But when do you know when your capacity for being able to hold space and be able to show up for the children? Have you, like, how, so I'm very tired sometimes. Like, I mean, I work as well. So, obviously that makes it a bit harder. I don't have a great support system around me of it's just me and my husband most of the time. So how do you open yourself up for more capacity to be able to go through pregnancy, birth, and then have another newborn? Have you got any wisdom or anything for me or for other mums who want to have a bigger family, but are maybe a kind of maybe, I don't know if it's a limited belief or if everyone around me kind of looks at me like I'm some sort of nutbag because they, like, I've got a friend who's only got one and she's like, one's enough. And then I've got, people tell me all the time, you're amazing. You've got three kids. And I'm like, it's only three. You know what I mean? So, but that's the constant messaging that you're getting from people in society that if you have three or more, that you're some sort of superhuman. And I know that especially women of faith tend to go on and have more or and homeschooling families and that. And I know we have a different way of life as well, because we don't have to do that hustle of the school system, putting all the kids in, going back and, it's kind of a bit more laid back. So do you have any words of wisdom for me and for other women that are kind of in this conundrum?
So what I would say, and that I've heard before, from the friends that I have that do have like 10 and 11 children, is they say, even when you think like, how would I add in another one? You just like adapt, like you just do, like, and the more kids you have, it actually becomes easier because they say the first two kids are the hardest because then you have like, maybe two toddlers or, they're the youngest ones. But then as those kids get older, they want to help. So then you all of a sudden have these little helpers and, some people are like, oh, this is horrible that you're making your kid. No, they love this. Like my oldest daughter, she is 8, she'll be turning 9, and she just like with this new baby, she like has a sense of purpose and like she will just hold him if he's fussing. She's the first one, like she'll go and pick him up, like she loves it. And it's preparing them also, like, to be parents someday and to, give birth someday, and like it's a beautiful thing. And so I also think like your first couple kids is probably the hardest, and then after that it's like you're adapting. And my husband and I, we both work from home, and so that's really cool because we both have each other at home all day. And I work also, and we film videos and we do different things. And so it's figuring out time to homeschool. And for me personally, I am not a very patient person. Like I sometimes like I'm like, okay, I can't do this anymore today. So school's over, we're done, and that's totally fine. Or I'll tell James, like, I need you to do reading today. And so we really just like also share a lot of that, where he'll do school some of the days and we just do school like maybe 2 or 3 days a week. And we focus on it for a couple hours a day. And it's also removing the pressure of the culture. Like I don't do grades. I think grades are just part of what our the public school system has put into place. So you can grade your child. And I don't think my child needs to be graded. Each of my kids learn at their own speed and their own ability. Especially with adopted children, there's different things. And like my oldest daughter, like she wasn't really talking till she was 4, which is later. And so then her reading naturally just comes a little later. And so that's why I love homeschooling too, is just for that reason. But like I'm not like a patient person. Like I am not I'm like a like kind of like what you said, like a go type of person. And sometimes it's hard for me to slow down and like let the kids like catch up. Like, okay, we don't need to be rushing through this. And so I think when you just add another baby, like I just think everyone just kind of naturally adapts. Like, and I don't think it's as hard as we think, it's going to be. Of course, there's challenges, but that baby just they bring so much joy, and it's you can't imagine your family without them, and you're like, wow, like what if, what if I said no? What if I, we missed out on having this person in our family?
What about the
Yeah.
space? So the other one is space. So I've got a 3-bedroom home and it's quite small compared to a lot of people I know who have got quite new homes, big homes. And people ask me this all the time, especially my grandfather who's in his 90s. And I always say to him, "How many siblings did you have, Granddad?" And he says, 10. And
Oh my goodness.
I said, "How many bedrooms did your house have?" And it was like 3. And I said, "Well, how did that work?" And, it's always, but we're in different times. Children want things. They need iPads and they need this and
Oh gosh.
overseas holidays and all of this sort of stuff. So, what would you say to that sort of thing, especially because you're in an RV? So, you're in a much smaller, I imagine there's not much private space, but I know myself. My kids co-sleep with me. I've got a almost 9-year-old, 6-year-old. They co-sleep with me, and so people always make comments on like, "When do you? How can you procreate? Or how do you have time to do that?" And it's like, I know you just make time, like you send the kids out or whatever.
Yep.
So, what would you say about the space and being able to provide all those things? Because obviously, children are expensive, but
Yeah.
you just make
Yeah, I
do.
mean,
I love your input or your idea.
oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny because people, they'll say, "Oh, before you have a baby, like you need to have a house and whatever." And it's like a baby's like, barely like a little over a foot long, like what, how much space does a baby, and people will think of, oh, you need all this stuff, and like the kids, and they need all of this stuff. And I guess we just have more of a minimalistic mindset because we live in a 34 foot, RV. I think we're about 240 square feet. We converted the back bedroom, which is normally where the queen bed is, and that's normally the main bedroom. We took that out. My husband built little bunk beds, so all three girls are in these adorable little bunk beds against the wall there, and they love their space. They love sharing a room, and I'm pretty sure on the other side of the wall we could probably add like two more bunk beds. But that might be pushing it. So, it's kind of like what you feel space-wise, what you can handle, I guess. I really need the kids to have their own space because I need them to be able to have somewhere to go, because I definitely need my own space and I need some kid-free time. So I need to say, all right, you know what, you guys, it's quiet time. You need to go to the room, or you need to go play outside. And playing outside is awesome. Like I love living on property where I can just be like, girls, go jump on the trampoline. I think outdoors should be an extension of your home. And so even if you feel like your home isn't very big, if you have an outdoor place, like that's super awesome. And then the baby, he sleeps with us, and oftentimes he even just sleeps on my husband's chest. Like my husband co-sleeps with him, even like more so than I do. Like I'll feed him throughout the night, and then he'll either lay between us, or my husband will just grab him and hold him, and it's like so cute. But yeah, I think we are much more capable. I think we have too much stuff these days. I think our kids have too many toys. I think kids need to be bored more often. I definitely don't think kids should be on their iPads alone in their room. That sounds like a disaster waiting to happen.
That disaster happens way too much, and I'm trying to wean those children off the iPads because they are like, "What do I do?" And I'm like, "I don't know. There's like 100 million things you can do. Use your brain." And if you allow them time off of that and you remove those things, then they find things, and there's like so many things they can do. We've got a beautiful back outdoor area. One of the things that we're very grateful for is a lot of people have the big homes, but they got no backyard, so their kids don't get exposed to the outside. And I love being in nature, and I suspect you're outside all the time too, because that's your outdoor environment. I think that that is definitely something that a lot of children are lacking, and that can be like overwhelming. And I heard that children are less, they behave a lot better when they're off the devices as well.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Totally. And I mean, screen addiction is a real thing, even for adults. Like, I've even gone through times where I'm like, whoa, I am like scrolling on Instagram. Like, what am I doing? I've just wasted, an hour or whatever. And you know, but it's really important that we teach our kids that boredom is okay, and they need to learn to sit and just be alone with their thoughts. Like, that's a very important thing to learn in life, is just to be able to think for yourself. And you know, how often are we driving in the car, you know, and you look over at a red light and someone is just instantly like on their phone at the red light. Like, they can't even handle, you know, 5 seconds of nothing. You know, they have to be consuming something. And it's really unhealthy, because like, that's not how we were created. That leads to a lot of anxiety and just like, you're off. Like, imagine just consuming information 100% of the time, whether it's
That's
movies or
right,
games
yeah.
or like, you know, it's not, that's not what we were designed to do. Like, I think, you know, getting the kids outside is so good. Giving them projects, buy them a sewing machine and tell them to like learn how to sew a pair of pants. Like, whatever it is, like, take up a new skill, learn to play the guitar. You know,
I love that. I love that. Like, I'm so intrigued, and I love that you and your husband are together, and you know that you're just off grid. My husband's dreams to have like a deserted island, but essentially it's just being away from people and not having to worry about work. Unfortunately, we need money, but you know, if you can do it in a way that you don't have to go somewhere 9 to 5, oh, the dream. Sounds like you're living the dream.
Yeah, I think the American dream is a little bit different than what they try to sell us on. I think it's the American dream is being together as a family and learning and growing together and experiencing nature and traveling. And you know, it's just, it's being together. And another thing about being in a small space, you know, it really bonds a family. Like, if you're in a big house and you're so spread out and everyone's always in their own rooms, like, you know, you might find that you're talking to each other less and less. And for us, we are like constantly together. Like, you know, even when the girls are in the back bedroom, I can still just talk to them very easily because they're right there, you know, and it's very bonding, you know, as a family. And I think it's really healthy and good. And, you know, I think I know what's best for my children, and I think I'm their best teacher, and I know them. And you know, it's just, I just see like that it's such a good, healthy environment, just the family atmosphere and just being close together. And you know, someday I hope to build a house, but I wouldn't do a big, you know, a big house. I would still want to keep it, you know, pretty small. And yeah, I like it, which is interesting, because I wouldn't have always thought that I would be able to handle that. But I've just kind of learned and adapted, and I like it. I wouldn't change it.
I think one of the things that I find what mums say to me about homeschooling is, I don't know how you do it, and you must have, I don't have the patience, they say. And I think what the issue is that they're so used to being away from them that they're not. And then I find, because I'm with my children, I have to take the responsibility on if they want to know something, learn something, do something, that's on me. Whereas my daughter did go to school for 6 months, and it was like, well, that's your job, you're the teacher, and it's like you're putting that responsibility back onto the schooling system. And sometimes parents can just take a step back, well, that job's done, I'm not responsible for that, somebody else is. But when my daughter's home, because she's, you know, my children are home, I have to be responsive. I have to, like, okay, if I don't have the capacity or the time to do it now, let's just talk about that later, because she needs to find out the skill, the question, get a question answered or whatever, so that she can continue on with life, so she can grow and adapt. And I find that it's not actually hard once you set yourself up with, you know, I need, like you said, I need time away. I don't have the capacity. You do the reading with the girls. You're aware of where you're at, and then you're able to step away and ground yourself, get yourself what you need, top yourself up, and then step back in. And I think we're so used to run, you know, running around doing the things. I mean, I'm still doing, and I'm learning, working. It's a lot. It's a lot, isn't it? You know, for the modern
It
day parent who's stuck in the trap circle of buying the house, buying the car. Not that, you know, having a house is a bad thing, but like Maybe you don't need to have such a big house, or you don't need to live in that suburb. You go a bit smaller so you don't maybe have to work, or your child doesn't go to the private college and then you're not having to work full time. Maybe you can just wear casual, or there's like alternatives to kind of make it a bit more relaxed rather than, you know, what the consumer world wants us to believe, you know? So,
Totally.
yeah, such an interesting conversation. I know that I didn't, you know, bring you on here to chat about those things, but since you're one of the first people that's living something that I want to achieve, I thought I may as well ask.
Hey, yeah. Hey, you know, this can be like part two or something, like interesting conversation topics.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your birth stories and all the extra tidbits that you shared with us. And I'll put all the notes and I'll put all the, you know, the YouTube channel and things like that and the video in the show notes. And then on my Instagram, there'll be the video as well that
Perfect.
I'll share if I can get access to that. But thank you so much for sharing.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on. I thoroughly enjoyed this. And yeah, thanks to everyone who took the time to listen to my story and ramblings.
Thank you so much for listening to the VBAC Home Birth Stories podcast. I hope this episode has helped you take another step forward in your VBAC home birth journey. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a second to rate and review. Each review helps me get this message out to more women just like us. Want to follow along and get freebies and offerings? Find me on Instagram, Ashley L. Winning, and send me a DM to say hi. And come and join our safe group on Facebook. Just search VBAC Home Birth Support Group. Until next time, keep shining beautiful.